dreams, those fleeting, surreal landscapes of the mind, they hold more power than we could ever begin to realize. But what if you could do more than just watch them unfold? What if you could step inside, take control, and bend the dream world to your will? Tonight, we unlock the hidden power of lucid dreaming, not just as a playground for the subconscious, but as a magical workshop, a realm where spell work, energy manipulation, and spiritual transformation take on an entirely new dimension. My guest this evening for the entire 2 hours, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth, is here to reveal the secrets of dream sorcery, her groundbreaking approach to merging the mystical with the dreamscape, from divination and spirit communication to shape-shifting and ritual practice. She'll show us how the dream world isn't just a reflection of our waking lives. It's a tool for transformation. So if you're ready to wake up inside your own dreams and take control, we cover that next right here on your home for the very best in paranormal programming. This is the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader, and joining me now for the remainder of the program on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Nikki.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This is great. And I love talking to people who study the mysteries of this world because they sure are many.
Well, this, I want to mention real quickly for people, there is a brand new book that will be coming out this May. I believe it's May 5th, if I'm correct, or May 8th, called Dream Sorcery.
Yep, that sounds right.
Yep, Dream Sorcery, The Ritual and Magic of Lucid Dreaming. Nikki is the author of this book, and it'll be out from Minnesota's very own Llewellyn Publishers. So you want to go look for that. You can go pre-order the book right now, and there are some savings if you pre-order the book. So go check it out on Amazon or wherever you purchase books. I want to start with just a slight bit of education, if I could, Nikki, first, because when people hear spellcraft, magic, witchcraft kind of denotes the Hollywoodized version of these things, and that, oh, it must be something dark and cult-like, not of the occult, but cult-like, and dealing with dark principles and energies. And really, that's so far removed from the concept of witchcraft and what is done in the craft. Can you help educate people a little bit on the realities of that?
Absolutely. Yes, sure. I mean, for those that, you know, aren't versed in what goes on in modern day witchcraft, it really is more of a earth-based spiritual practice, usually for most practitioners. They're usually using the psychic experiences that they have, you know, through energy and the spirits of nature and themselves, to explore this world more deeply and to use that as a path of spiritual evolution. So yes, you know, when you talk about spells and spirits and things, there are dark ones. You know, there are people that use magic wrongfully, you know, or what we would call baneful magic. But there are extremists in every single, you know, area of the world and every single religion, of course.
Not just in religion, and I want people to really take this into thought. I mean, there are medical centers that are set up to help us, and there are well-known cases of nurses and doctors, and I'm not trying to put a blanket over them, but there are the few bad apples that do horrible things to their patients. And there are bad people in every field of work. So
exactly.
I just don't want people always lumping things in because of this. And I know that there's references, Dave, to witches in the Bible, right? Well, that's also a word that was used for midwives. It was the word that was used for people that could take leaves and roots and grind them up and make a medicine that you would go begging for when you were in a position of needing help to get that baby safely delivered, to help you get over your headaches, your other ailments. And the minute something went wrong in your life, it must have been somebody else's fault. And I know this is hard to believe, right, folks, but that still takes place today. People want to put blame somewhere else when things go wrong in their own lives. And it's so easy to just pick on the witch. Right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, life is hard, you know, like stuff happens, right. And people want something to blame, especially if they put all of their thinking sort of fundamentally into a God, you know, or a religion that says, you know, I'm all good and you're going to be saved, and they feel like they haven't sinned or whatever, and then something terrible happens, they need to blame it on somebody. So it's easiest to blame the person who was trying to help you, possibly, as though right. they actually were underhanded. But you know, yeah, scapegoats, and like you said, there's a bad apple here and there everywhere through all places in the world and history. And modern day witchcraft does not insinuate evil or baneful work by any means. I do run a private occult order in Connecticut here. Well, I've got people from all over now, but it's the Society of Witchcraft and Old Magic. And we do have to teach, you know, sort of the whole spectrum of things that occur from blessed to baneful for the sake of the students really gaining mastery and having an understanding.
Right.
That being said, we treat it like a martial art. You know, we treat it like a discipline that requires the utmost respect. You know, and just like in martial arts, when we use magic, first of all, it's not like Hogwarts where, you know, miraculous
what?
Sparks of energy are flying through the air and things.
Oh, it's more like Bewitched where you just twitch your nose and something cool happens? No? What?
Sometimes.
Oh, man.
But it is more like having a deep and intuitive understanding of what around you is enchantable, and then being able to you can shift the atmosphere, you know, to things happening in your favor, and you can improve the way that you communicate. You can push the probabilities of things that are possible to happen in your favor. But you can't really just, you know, fling a wand and hope that some, you know, crazy miraculous thing is going to happen. It's really energy in, energy out.
Wait a minute. So you can actually put out asking for good things to happen to you and to heal and put in energy and effort into that, and it's not a sign of darkness and evil? Oh, wait, no, you're right. That's called praying to God, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not really all that different. It's just a different modality.
Right. And I do that sarcastically and tongue-in-cheek, but I do want people to realize, again, you know, it's so easy, and I know we've got listeners right now that might be a little rankled. Oh, I'm listening to the good neighbor WCCO about witchcraft? Really? Really, Dave? In 2025? Yeah, because isn't it time we start to peel back the veil of ignorance and start to look at the fact that there are other modalities of healing and of ways to make things better, and most of it has to do with intention, and it's things that we've been doing all along. We just feel comforted calling it whatever our title is, whether it's prayer, whether, you know, I mean, need I remind you, in Christianity and many other religions, there's been sacrifice. There has been a very dark side to many different elements of this. But what we talk about and the things that we bring forward on programs like this with guests like this is how to improve our lives overall. And it's not in signing a blood deal with some dark lord. It's in how to find a way to empower yourself, to step into your energy, take your own power, and to work in concert with those around you, the world around you, the universe around you. And that's when you start to see shifts happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's very well put. And actually, so I did write the first book that I wrote a number of years back, which I self-published, but which is still available on Amazon, is about this very thing. And it's called You Might Be a Witch. And it just talks about how, you know what, I am a very average person, or I should say I grew up in an average suburban American household that really wasn't that religious, but that had a, you know, sort of Protestant background. And I ended up becoming a professional occultist. I went to college to be a physical therapist. I was in the professional world, but my skills and my talents, this is what people came to me for over and over again. So eventually I just let it happen. And so I've been doing this full time now for, you know, probably 13 years or so, but I've been practicing the craft and healing work and things like that since I was in my young 20s, and I'm 52. So now it's been decades. but yes, you know, it can just happen that some
people are drawn to this. Well, and I want people to know, too, let's mention, occult is not, because of, again, horror movies and and books, the word occult has a very negative connotation, but occult is really about learning forgotten knowledge. It's about many different things. You have to, again, educate yourself on words. Just don't follow the lead. If you see these things and you've been told these things, look them up and educate yourself a little bit on them, because I do want people to mention or understand, as you mentioned the word occult, it is different than a cult, right?
Exactly.
It is different than these different things. So we have to start taking time, and this is so hard. I know this is going to be a surprise and a shock, probably especially to my producer, Jonathan here, that some people don't really educate themselves on things. They just get told by others what things mean, and then they run with it as though that's all the knowledge they'll ever need is that headline. And that's not what the way of the world, folks. You have to educate yourself, enlighten yourself, read, find out the ins and outs of these things. What we might call a witch, others might call a shaman, a healer.
Mm-hmm.
You might call your priest or pastor, because what they're doing is they're calling in things to help you. They're calling upon things to make things better in our lives, to make things better within ourselves. We're taught, you know, a perfect example of a witch and very occult practices, and I'm going to shake some paradigms real quick before we go to break. And many of you have been doing this all along without realizing that your spell books were written by Tony Robbins and Og Mandino and Lou Holtz and many different people, How to Win Friends and Influence People. This is a book, Dave, of positivity. It's a book of learning how to do things right. But that's all that the craft is, in essence, is learning how to take advantage of the situations around you, not in a bad way, but to become one with them instead of always opposing them. And there is going to be good and bad, just like all of us nerds learned in Star Wars, right? The Force is an energy. It is neither good nor bad. It is how we lean into it and how we utilize it that defines what that energy is. And then the energy, again, itself is nonpartisan. It's the individual that's wielding it that defines how it's used. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the dream realm is so powerful, and I'm excited to talk about this and learn a little bit and figure out how we can involve this in our lives to start making changes and make things different for us, and how we can become aware of these possibilities and probabilities. And please stay with us. We've got a lot to talk about. And if you have questions, hit me up on the talk and text line. You can text me in at 651-461-9226. Or if you have questions for our guest, you can call in a little bit, 651-461-9226. Jot that down. And maybe after the half an hour break in weather, we'll allow phone calls at that point. But stay tuned. We've got more to discuss right here on the Paranormal 360. Good evening. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dave Schrader. Dream Sorcery, The Ritual and Magic of Lucid Dreaming. That's the new book coming out this May 8th. Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth, our guest, talked a little bit about witchcraft, hopefully defining some of the parameters and understandings to elevate you, enlighten you, and let you know that most of what you think you know is Hollywood hogwash. And do you ever wish, Nikki, that there was a different name that could still have that same kind of magic and wonder sense to it, but not come with the baggage of what's been attached to it all these years?
Yeah, a lot of people have tried that, but it does seem to constantly filter back, you know.
Right.
It's actually, nowadays, too, the word witch is used so diversely by so many people to mean all kinds of different takes and approaches. And actually, even though that the word occult is scary to people too, I call myself an occultist because I'm more of a very studious magician, student of the mysteries. I perform magic, which not all witches do. A lot of witches are really just pagans, meaning, you know, they celebrate the earth-based holidays, and that is their spiritual approach, but they don't necessarily get into the studies of magic. But yes, there are a lot of different words and terms, and people use them so differently in how they identify. So it's really just about the person, you know, where, like you said, we're trying to do good things. We're trying to, do the best that we can with this life and support others, you know, create good experiences. And, you know, you mentioned Christianity and things like that. We have rituals that are very lovely, you know, not at all unlike going to church, that are just ways of seeking communion with the divine. You know, so it really is no different in intention in a lot of ways. And it would be great if that scariness were lessened.
Yeah, I think, but, you know, and it didn't help that, you know, back in the early 2000s, you know, way back at the beginning of this century, there were a lot of people that were seeking answers outside of conventional means. And there were all of these salacious headlines, people turning away from Christianity or church in droves, people now falling into, like it's a pit, witchcraft, right? And like, well, maybe that's because they're trying to just find another method of understanding the world and becoming one with something. There are so many people that, you know, after 9/11 occurred in our country, there are so many people that felt broken and disenfranchised from their religion, from their belief systems, that they didn't know where to turn. And even many of the churches didn't know how to lead their followers through those tough times. And it put people in a position of trying to find answers elsewhere. And yeah. I always think it's a shame that because people did turn to the craft and trying to understand that it wasn't a bad thing. It was simply trying to educate and understand.
Yes, it's a way to find meaning. And there are many of those ways in this world. And to be a fundamentalist and say that there's only one way, you know, is shutting yourself off from, you know, tens of thousands of years of history and cultures from other parts of the world that have different ways of looking at things. You know, in my order, which is one of American witchcraft, we look at things philosophically from sort of a melting pot lens, meaning we try to respect the vantage points of people from all around the world and how they look at magic and the mysteries and the paranormal. And so to learn and deepen, you know, to not just have one narrow, you know, tunnel view, but to have a very wide, open, expansive approach that always lets you keep learning.
No problem. Yeah, I was going to say, I was really excited when The Secret came out, and I thought, wow, this is a really fascinating way to teach people another way to see intention and manifestation, that it's not Christianity, you're not leaning into God so much into that, you're not leading into one faction or the other, but learning to see and manifest the things that you want and desire, and giving us back the power that we as humans, I think, have given up over the years because of our sense of feeling oppressed by our society, by our leaders, by the people that are supposed to, you know, show us the way. And if we can reinvigorate that, it gives us that power again. And The Secret was a great book to start to open that up for people.
Absolutely. The Secret, you know, focuses on the fact that you do get to choose where you put your focus. You don't have to keep your focus on something that has you suffering. You can choose that, and it will help you to change the way that your emotions feel. And that draws different circumstances to your life, you know, when you can do it. And so it is immensely valuable for anyone of any faith, background, belief system, you know, to think about that. You can choose where you put your focus. And I look at magic and witchcraft as the study of energy and consciousness. So, and I always say this to my students, you know, that there's energy and consciousness, and those are the only two things that exist in the universe. And every single thing that you can encounter or conceive of is some unique combination of those two things, right? Energy coming together in a way. We know a lot about this with our science. You know, we can measure energy waves and atoms and particles, and we know that's a thing. And we know that we are conscious beings and that we have, you know, minds that can perceive beyond ourselves. We have the ability to think about things that aren't just what we're looking at in our direct physical surroundings. You know, our minds are very expansive. So energy and consciousness come together in so many ways. And maybe that's where we come to the discussion of the deeper mysteries of dreaming.
I like that. Right. Because so many people think, well, okay, I get it if I'm awake and I'm consciously putting myself in these positions, but how can I begin to use dreams to help me. We'll talk about that when we return. We've got more with our guest, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth, and Dream Sorcery when we return right after this and the weather on WCCO. Welcome back to the program. This is the Paranormal 360. You can find us here every Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m., as we talk all things strange and supernatural. Open your mind, open your world, and begin to experience things beyond your current understandings. Dream Sorcery is the talk of the town tonight. Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth is the author of this new book that will be out May 8th. You can pre-order the book and get some savings if you go pre-order it right now on Amazon.com. Let's get into the concept of the dream realm. Again, some of us feel like we're out of control and have a hard enough time figuring out how to consciously make choices that will positively affect us. Nikki, how do we start to utilize the dream realm to help us get these things and maybe have a better connection overall?
Yeah, so the heart and soul of my own spiritual practice is dream work and dream magic, because there's nothing that I've experienced, despite my decades of occult practice, teaching, and training, that goes deeper into, you know, the waking up to the very sense of your soul than lucid dreaming. So, you know, basically, we all dream. Anyone that says that they don't just isn't remembering. You know, so that's the first step, you know, getting, if you're interested in developing a magical dreaming practice, or not even magical if that's not the right term for you, but a spiritually exploratory dream practice where you get to really contact the mysteries awake, but in your dreams. Right. First, you need to have some dream recall. And so, you know, there are things that you can do. And I do talk about a lot of this in the book. I kind of go through some of the basics about setting yourself up to be predisposed to become lucid. So a lucid dream differs from your regular night dreams in the sense that you are literally mentally awake. So what happens is normally you're dreaming as you normally are. And when we do that, we don't know that we're dreaming. Right? Like you wake up and you kind of might remember, oh, that was weird. I was walking around in this town and I don't really recognize that from physical life. And I was with some, you know, and you know that, but you were just doing your thing. That's regular dreams. When you're lucid, a moment happens where all of a sudden you realize that you're dreaming. And it's almost like having a bicameral mind in the sense that you're still embodied in your dream body, in the dream scene, but you are also simultaneously fully aware of this physical life that we're in and everything about your life, and you know that you're in your bed safely asleep. So, for example, if you were running along and there was, you know, someone chasing you in your dream, or there was some threat or something, you're no longer scared of it because you understand that you're in a dream body and you know that your physical body isn't there. So, you know, I know you do a lot on this show, exploring spirits and things like that. It's kind of like being a spirit yourself in the dream realms and knowing that you can move around that way. You can explore that landscape. You can speak to God. You can speak to deities. You can speak to spirits, ancestors. You can time travel. You can perform healing work that often has effects that ripple through into physical reality. I've been able to do so many different things. And that's not even getting into, you know, ceremonial magic and the practicing of sorcery skills and things like that in the dream realm, but you can do so much. The hard part is predisposing yourself to become lucid, because it's not the easiest thing in the world. It does kind of take some motivation. You know, you have to kind of get those skills together. And, you know, I can talk about that.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, people have to realize it's not just something, well, tonight I'm going to go do this. It is a muscle, like anything that you have to work at. You don't just want to speak Spanish and begin speaking Spanish. You have to start to educate yourself, listen to the tapes, listen to the courses, go to school, whatever it takes. But it takes a while to build the practice. And once you learn that, like with any skill that you go through, it takes a while to get to that point. But then once you do, it's such a nice transitionary aspect for you to be able to achieve. And
absolutely. Yeah, once you have the skill, then you can start to use it in those ways.
Do you think people would be surprised, Nikki, how I don't want to predispose them, but do you think they'd be surprised how easy they could eventually start to do these things?
Yeah, I think the hard part is putting in sort of the work that people think of as boring or rigorous, because it's things like meditation. You know, it's things that increase your mental clarity in different ways that are sort of the biggest factors helping you to become lucid in your dreams, to wake up. It is a waking up. And actually, when you learn to wake up frequently in your dreams, the biggest payoff of that is that you wake up so much more crisply in every reality in which you exist, including this one. So it makes life become something that is much more richly lived, you know, when you can become lucid frequently. And it takes away our fear of dying. Because what you learn when you can walk around like that and explore conscious awareness and the building blocks of the universe as a spirit, you realize in a way that you can't when you're awake that consciousness is not local to your body. So it kind of gives you a way to develop that as a personal truth. You know, I'm not a fundamentalist, so I don't go around saying to people, this is what's true, this is what you should believe. I try to help people have their own experiences that are deeply psychic and deeply spiritual like this, so that they can develop that truth for themselves and trust it. If you get to function as a spirit where you can pick up psychic information, you can adventure in different realities, you're going to realize that after death, your spirit continues to do that. So I fully personally believe that when we die, it's like waking up from a big fancy dream. I think that when we die, we're going to go, oh, that's funny what I was doing with all those people. And look, I was running a radio show and I was talking about haunted houses. And what, like, that's a fun dream I just had. What was that? And then you're going to be on to the next adventure that your awareness is immersed in. And you may even just feel like yourself, you know, being like, oh, wow, I realize what that was now. And now I'm doing this. And it might not be a physical reality. You know, it might be a spiritual reality that you exist in after. I don't know. And I think it can vary. But I do think that when we learn consciousness isn't necessarily local to the body, it helps us expand what we can accept as potentially true, including accepting the belief system of other people and other cultures in the world. But it helps us live without that fear.
That's perfect. And so we do have to take a quick break. Let's do this. When we come back, let's pick up where we're leaving off, but give some opening tips and hints on how people can start to enter into this mindset and start to make a life change and utilize their dreams. We'll talk more with Nikki when we return right here on the Paranormal 360. We're back. This is the Paranormal 360. I'm Dave Schrader. Sitting across from me on the phone, Nikki Wardwell-Sleeth. We're talking about dreams. And let's start to give a little insight into how we can start to begin to work the dreams from the awake state and start to learn to bridge that chasm, Nikki.
Yes. So I mentioned meditation, you know, is one thing, and mental clarity seems to be the quality that is most frequently needed in order to become lucid, sort of that ability to be extra hyper present and aware of your surroundings. So when you meditate on a daily basis, that's a great start for being able to hone this skill. And when I say that, you know, I usually mean just setting aside anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes a day and choosing one focal point that you'll use. You know, it could be the sensation of your breath, or it could be the sensation of the palms of your hands, or looking at the inside of the back of your eyelids, and trying not to get distracted or go down any mental rabbit holes, you know, and keep reining your attention back to your focal point every time that you realize, you know, extraneous thoughts are beginning to happen. That's really all meditation is. Meditation is not the pressure to suddenly experience some kind of Zen enlightenment state. It really is the rigorous work of retraining your mind back to the thing you decided you were going to focus on over and over and over again. So having a practice like that is one. Journaling your dreams is actually really important because it shows your subconscious mind. If you have a practice of every time you wake up, you reach over to the nightstand and pick up that journal and just jot down whatever you were dreaming, it shows your subconscious mind over and over again that you value that moment, that you can look at that moment where you were just in another mental reality doing something else and transitioning into this one. And for a split second, you are aware of them both. That's required for dream recall. And it takes a lot of mental clarity to have great dream recall. But if you don't have good recall, you could actually be becoming lucid and not remember it. So, and not, be able to purposely do things with it. So you do need to journal.
Do you suggest, because that was part of my problem, right? If I wake myself up, if I have a dream and purposely wake myself up and start, turn on the light, start writing things down, I'll be awake for the rest of the night. What are your thoughts on just having like a tape recorder or an audio recorder next to your bed? All of our phones have free audio software you can download to record. What do you think of opening up the phone, record your dream to the best of your knowledge, and then, the next morning when you get up, transcribe it or, write it down and keep it that way? Or do you think that it's imperative at the moment to write it? Because I know writing helps cement the memory a little bit more clearly.
Yeah. So first of all, using a voice recorder app or something like that is better than not documenting anything.
Okay, good.
But writing is the best. So there's sort of a spectrum. Writing requires this, it slows down your process of thinking because the rate at which you can put words on the page requires that hand-eye coordination and you to keep your thoughts on the concepts that you're writing down. And here's the thing, here's the bad news about that. You mentioned if you get up and turn the light on and write for 5 minutes, maybe you won't fall back asleep. If your mental clarity improves, though, you will, because normally when we can't fall back asleep, it's because the mind is worrying and doing its monkey mind thing, and you're now thinking about all the things you need to do the next day and all the stuff that's going on, and that kind of raises your energy field a bit and makes it feel like it's much more difficult to fall asleep. If you decided, I'm going to just put my mind on my slow, tidal breath, ebbing and flowing, and keep it there for 20 minutes, I guarantee you'll wake up in the morning and go, oh, how far into that 20-minute meditation did I get? So you can meditate right then, too, in the night. That's another benefit of developing a meditation practice, is that it can help you to fall back asleep. Another factor here, though, is that there's a huge, it's widely accepted among experienced lucid dreamers that doing something called the wake back to bed technique is exceptionally helpful in becoming lucid. And so what that means is actually waking up on purpose in the middle of the night for a bit of time, like half an hour or even an hour, and then going back to bed. When you disrupt the sleep cycles like that, there's this phenomenon known as REM loading. So REM sleep, meaning rapid eye movement sleep, which is sort of, we're always dreaming actually when we sleep, but that's the phase that it's easiest to remember our dreams from. So you get this sort of longer and stronger session of REM sleep that makes it easier than usual to become lucid. You're a little closer to your awareness of self, and so it's a little bit easier to wake up to the nature of both realities when you do wake up for a bit and then go back to sleep. So it is beneficial to do it, even though it's hard. And this is where some of the rigorousness comes in, because when you wake up in the night, like even if you wake up to go to the bathroom, right, you kind of, I mean, even me, and this is something I prize greatly, I shuffle over there, I go to the bathroom, come back out, and I just want to dive back under the covers and like reclaim the hold that I have on that luscious, sleepy, right. like get back into, you know, into rest.
Exactly. We have to take a break. We'll come back. And folks, if you get up in the middle of the night, like she's suggesting, it doesn't mean start doom scrolling on your phone. It means allow yourself to just be in that moment and go to the bathroom, get back in bed. I bet you find yourself sleeping a little bit easier. We'll come back. We've got more to talk with our guest. And again, if you have questions, thoughts, ideas, be a part of the show. 651-461-9226 right here on the Paranormal 360.